This continued every time for a fortnight. Sometimes it was in the garret, but most commonly in the nursery or green chamber. Too cold now, Mike. Susanna, that's not in the Wesley papers. Susanna, I believe nothing of it. Mike was not in the Wesley home. He's running the buttons in here. Susanna, I believe nothing of it till about a fortnight after the first noises. The first night I ever heard it, my sister Nancy and I were sat in the dining room. We heard something rush on the outside of the doors that opened into the garden, then three loud knocks. Immediately after, other three. And in half a minute, the same number, three, knocks over our heads. Emily. My sisters in the paper chamber had heard noises and told me of them, but I didn't much believe till one night about a week after the first groans were heard, which was the beginning, just after the clock had struck 10, I went downstairs to lock the doors, which I always do. Scarce had I got up the best stairs when I heard a noise, like a person throwing down a vast coal in the middle of the fore kitchen, and all the splinters seemed to fly about from it. I was not much frightened, but went to my sister Suki, and we together went all over the low rooms, but nothing was out of order. Mrs. Wesley. I was a great while ere I could credit anything of what the children and servants reported concerning the noises they heard in several parts of the house. Samuel, to whom these various exchanges were going to. Well, could not rats or cats or dogs be the sprites? Mrs. Wesley. This is John Wesley's mother. Nay, after I heard them myself, I was willing to persuade myself and them that it was only rats or weasels that disturbed us. Still too cold, Mike. Samuel. I understand my father did not hear it at all, but a fortnight after the rest. Mr. Wesley, John's father, the Reverend Samuel Wesley. I didn't hear it till, I think, the 21st night. I heard nothing of it. Mrs. Wesley, we all heard it, but your father, and I was not willing he should be informed of it, lest he should fancy it was against his own death, which indeed we all apprehended. Mr. Wesley, they wouldn't tell me for some time because, according to vulgar opinion, if it boded any ill to me, I couldn't hear it. Mrs. Wesley. But when it began to be so troublesome, both day and night, that few or none of the family durst be alone, I resolved to tell him of it, being minded he should speak to it. Emily. My father smiled and gave no answer, but was more careful than usual from that time to see us in bed, imagining it to be some of us young women that sat up late and made a noise. His incredulity, and especially his imputing it to us or our lovers, made me, I confess, desirous of its continuance until my father would be convinced. Well, that's a poltergeist wish. Mrs. Wesley, I was entirely convinced it was beyond the power of any human creature to make such strange and various noises. Mr. Wesley, I said, I'm ashamed of you. These boys and girls fright one another, but you're a woman of sense and should know better. Let me hear of it no more. Mrs. Wesley. At first he would not believe, but somebody did it to alarm us. That's what he thought. But the night after, as soon as he was in bed, it knocked loudly 9 times just by his bedside. Am I boring you? More of the same, but from a different source. He rose and went to see if he could find out what it was, and he could see nothing. Mr. Wesley, still too cold. Turn the thing off, because it's blowing something in my throat. Mr. Wesley, the next night, I heard 6 knocks, but not so loud as the former. Now John's dad's hearing. Emily, I heard frequently between 10 and 11, something like the quick winding up of a jack. Let me play that again. I heard frequently between 10 and 11 o'clock something like the quick winding up of a jack at the corner of my room by my bed's head, just the running of the wheels and the creaking of the ironwork. This was the common signal of its coming. John. Now John Wesley's in on the act. Whether our clock went right or wrong, it always came, as near as could be guessed, when by the night it wanted 9:45. Mrs. Wesley, one night it made such a noise in the room over our heads as if several people were walking, then run up and down the stairs. Mr. Wesley, something like the steps of a man was heard going up and down stairs at all hours of the night. Mrs. Wesley, so outrageous we thought the children would be frightened. So your father and I rose, went down in the dark, light a candle. There's something here at their feet. I'll skip that. We're about to leave Dallas. Got to go quick. We heard, as Emily had done before, clashing among the bottles. Samuel, was the whole family asleep? And they're going down. Emily, my sister Hetty, who sits always to wait on my father's going to bed, was still sitting on the lowest step of the garret steps, the door being shut at her back, when soon after there came down the stairs behind her something like a man in a loose nightgown trailing after him, which made her... Want me to continue? This is John Wesley's house. 1550, Workett, in the county of Horn, Brabant. Nuns lent a poor woman 3 pounds of salt and received 6 pounds in return. Immediately the nuns climbed trees like cats, were invisibly pinched and beaten, and levitated several feet in the air without harm. A woman was bewitching the convent. Confessed to it. 1560, exempt to Spain. Nuns bleated like sheep, tore off veils, and had convulsions in church. I mean, some of them either wanted to get out of that nunnery a lot worse than these guys want to go to heaven. Well, they were possessed.